Man, I'm asking you to open your ears and open your heart and open your eyes and to see what God just might have for you today. And man, folks, we're not here just to do church. We're here to encounter the living God, that we would come before Him in praise and adoration and worship Him because He is so deserving of praise and thanksgiving. And then we would come to His Word knowing that this can transform our lives, that this is truth. I'm not asking you just come check a box. I did my Christmas thing. I'm asking you to come to this with an open heart and hear the word and hear the truth this morning and watch how God will move in your heart in such a powerful way this morning and that you'll respond to it. You'll respond to what God has for you today. So let's ask Him to do that. Father, we come before You, humbly come before You in the name of Jesus, asking God that You'd move in this place in a powerful way. God, as Your word is preached, Father, I'm asking You that You would give me the absolute direction from Your word. That I would preach Your word, God, that You would give me the words to speak to these amazing, hungry people. Father, thank You for those who are here this morning. Thank You for this 11 o'clock service. Father, I ask that You would guide us and direct us and bless us in the reading and preaching of Your word. Father, I ask that we would have an ear to hear today. Clear out everything else, God, and we would have an ear to hear from You. And God, we'd have an eye to see exactly what You would have us see this morning. God, that our hearts would be hungry for You today. Father, speak to us, please. Folks, I do ask that before God, You would ask God, Father, give me an ear to hear today. God, help me to see what You need me to see. God, speak into my life today. God, help me to know that this is You. Speak to my life today. God, I will respond. I will respond to Your word today, God. God, I came in a condition that I need to hear from You today, God. God, I need to hear from You today. Please speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. See, folks, I do not know the condition of your heart. God does. And you're here, and there's a purpose you're here. And man, I want you to hear this. Please hear this. Man, two places this morning, the whole message is that God with us. What an amazing, amazing thought in this season that we celebrate the very coming of our King, the first coming of our King. And man, we bring Him great praise and great thanks for coming in the form of man, in the form of a feeding trough, in the most simplest of conditions, and shows up as God in all authority. 100% God, yet 100% man. Amazing. Why would God put on flesh? Why would He come to a point to enter time? God of all eternity put on time when He put on flesh. Amazing. Folks, you see, God did that because He so desperately wants a relationship with you. God did that to provide a way, the only way, that you may come to know Him on His terms. And God had to enter creation to fix the issue of sin. God had to enter creation to fix that Adam and Eve fell. Adam and Eve walked in relationship with God in the garden. They missed it. They walked in sin that caused all man to be sin through the seed of Adam. Therefore, all have sinned and fall short. And you'd think right there, maybe, God of all eternity, God of all power, God of all majestic, God who really doesn't need us. But yet He so desperately wanted a relationship and desired a relationship with me and with you and with His creation, that God put on flesh to fix an issue that only He could fix, because He so desires to have a relationship with you. Come on, look at this. Two places this morning, Matthew 1 and Luke 19. Turn to Luke 19 first and put a marker in Luke 19. And then we will start in Matthew 1. We're going to talk about 2 days. The day that He came and the day that He cried. The day Jesus came and the day Jesus cried. And both of them are wrapped up in having a desire for man. Both of them are wrapped up in relationship. God of all creation wants relationship with me and with you. And we see how God drew so close to man that He put on flesh. Now look at this, verse 18, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows.
When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Write this down. Jesus means God saves. That's what his entitlement, that is what the name of Christ, when you will call him Jesus, that interprets God saves. This is the one who saves. Look at the next part of this. For he will save his people from their sins. He will save. This is the purpose that he will save. Listen, when Adam and Eve walked in the garden, God walked with them. There was great fellowship and relationship. And then sin entered in the picture. Now the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death means to be separate from God. That's what death means. And you look at this, and the reason that 12 to 16 year old girl named Mary, who was a virgin, got pregnant by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to a son to be named Jesus, God saves, which would be entitled the Son of God, was to save his people from death. The wages of sin is death. Get that picture. The reason Jesus came was to save us from death, so that we could walk in fellowship and relationship with him for an eternity. It's an amazing picture. It's an amazing picture. It's not just this cute little child in a manger and we have him hanging on our tree and it's so beautiful, and then, Thursday we forget about it. It's an absolute reality of his first coming. And we anticipate and we wait for his second coming, knowing that he came to save. And this word save, it means to rescue. The greatest rescue mission of all time. He came to rescue, or save means delivered, or it means to be safe from the wrath. What do we need to be rescued from? What do we need to be delivered from? The wrath of God. For those who reject and those who say no to salvation, the wrath of God will come upon them. But Jesus came to deliver and to rescue us from that wrath. He came to save his people. He came to rescue that which he created. Isn't that amazing? Folks, it's amazing to me. So many times, as we see in the physical, these rescue teams go out where somebody at times foolishly went into an area of the woods or went into the area of a cliff that they know was way over their head, and they did it anyways. And it causes the rescue team to put their lives at risk, to go into the ravine to save somebody who really made a serious, stupid mistake. And here Jesus, God of all creation, went on this amazing rescue mission to save us who make stupid mistakes and sin. You would imagine that at that point, God would say, you know what, I'm done with you people. I created you to walk in fellowship and relationship with me, and you disobeyed me and you rejected me. I am God. I don't need you. But no. You're not going to have any rescue team look over the cliff and say, you're a fool. Good luck. And neither did God. God put on flesh. And so to speak, entered the ravine to those of us who are foolish. All have sinned. All are foolish. Aren't you glad God didn't look down and say, you stupid, stupid people? No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he entered into this crooked, perverse, desperate, destroyed world that he created, and entered into man to fix and to reach man so that we may come to know him. It's amazing, folks. It's amazing. Now look at this. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin. This was 700 years prior to this. Isaiah 7:14. Here the angel is quoting this verse found in Isaiah 7:14, written down 700 years prior. This is prophecy coming true. Behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Hear that. God with man. God with me. And you see this amazing picture from Old Testament to New Testament. How God had a desire and a passion to be with man. He could have written us off in the garden, folks. But he has such a desire and such a passion to be with man. I want you to see this right from Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who what? Who goes with you. God has a desire to be with us. He goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. Isn't it amazing that he repeats this? Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you for what? He will be with you. Isn't it amazing that we can bank that God goes before us? God goes ahead of us. God will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. What an amazing promise. Right from the very beginning, Deuteronomy, God says, I will be with you. God has a passion and a desire to be with his people. Come on, look at this. Look at Psalm 34, 18. For the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Get this. God is near to those who are broken, to those who are desperate, to those who are lonely, to those who are lost, to those who are hopeless. Dang, that's the broken. And he saves, he rescues, he delivers those who are crushed in spirit. Why? Because the Lord is near, has a desire to be with his people. Isn't it amazing that all through the New Testament, you see, who did Jesus hang with? The broken, the lost, the lonely, the sick, the outcast, the desperate. That's who. Why? Because Jesus is God, and God is near to the brokenhearted. Isn't that amazing that we see this picture in the New Testament? Where would you find Jesus? Hanging out with the sinners. Where would you find Jesus? Hanging out with those who no one else had to hang out with. Where would you find Jesus? Hanging out with those who are lonely. Where would you find Jesus? Hanging out with those who are about to be stoned. Where would you find Jesus? Hanging out with the brokenhearted. Why? Because he is God. And that's where God goes. It's to the brokenhearted. And those whose spirits have been crushed. God has such a desire to be with his people. Look at this, Isaiah 41. Do not fear. Why? For I am with you. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Again, when we are standing on this, and this is our foundation, and we're standing on the absolute truth, that we know that this is truth, and we know that regardless of what anyone else ever says or believes, that this is the absolute truth. And we stand in righteousness, that those who are right according to what God said is right. That's his righteousness. He says this, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Why? Again, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that amazing promise of God? I'm with you. Man, it's my passionate desire to be with that which I created. Look, Isaiah 43 says almost the same thing. But now thus, the Lord, our creator, Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have what? I have redeemed you. Man, powerful word. Redeemed. It means to buy back. He purchased us. We have now become slaves to sin. Israel was in a place of rejecting God. Israel in a place of rejection. And this is what he says to his chosen people. I have bought you back. I've taken you out of Egypt. I've taken you out of what took place in slavery. And I paid for you. I paid for you. I bought you back. I redeemed you. Look what it says. I've called you by name. You're mine. Look at what God is saying. Listen, I so passionately want to be with you that I bought you back. I redeemed you. So what? That you would be mine. God's a jealous God. God is a jealous God for his people. And he wants us to understand and recognize that we are his. We belong to him.
And then the amazing work of the cross, where the Bible says that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That the finished work of His redemption, of His buying His people back from the slavery and bondage of sin, was His Son on a cross. And it was through the sacrifice of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the absolute innocent blood of the perfect Lamb of God that bought us back. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, where's God? I will be with you. Right from the Old Testament throughout the New. He says, I want to be with my people. Then you cross over into Matthew and you see this amazing, amazing work where this is the end of the story for Jesus in the flesh. This is after His death, burial, and resurrection. This is right before His ascension. These aren't the actual last words of Jesus. We find the last words of Jesus were found in the beginning of Acts. But this is right towards the end. And He says this to His people, to His followers, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Look what He says. I am with you always. What a promise from God. Through Christ Jesus, I am with you always. And then He says this, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. Man, I have come. I have been put on a cross. I have died. I have been buried. I stand before you today resurrected. Know this for sure. Followers who follow me, I am with you always. Well, could you imagine the followers and the disciples? As here, they saw Him on the cross. They saw Him in the grave. Now they see Him in the flesh standing before Him. And He makes this incredible declaration. I'm here and I will always be here. And I will always be with you. Even to the end of the age, you think. They started grabbing a hold of this, that He came to be with us. He came, He died, He was buried, He was resurrected, and His statement is that I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. And then you look at this, the end of the age, Revelation 21:3. Gang, this is after judgment. This is after depart from me, for I never knew you, for anyone who never called on the name of Jesus for salvation. This is after Satan is now eternally locked up in the gates of hell, in the gates of heaven, in the gates of in the lake of fire, forever burning in the lake of fire for his hatred towards God, his rejection of God, his hatred towards man. Now look at this. This is after all of that, man. This is the ending of one thing, this life, and all of Revelation, and it comes to the start of something magnificent, amazing for you and I who know Jesus Christ, is what it says. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they will be His people. And God Himself will dwell among them. Folks, for all eternity, isn't it amazing that God of all creation wants to be with His people forever? And verse 4 says this, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. When God Himself, with such a gentle care for His people, will do something so magnificent that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. And they shall be His people. Amazing. You see, the day He came was a continuation of God having a desire to be with His people for an eternity. And it was the changing moment of time when God took on flesh, became man, so that He could reach man. What love is this, folks? That God would do everything necessary for us to know Him and to walk in amazing fellowship and relationship with Him, that it cost Him His Son Jesus. Now look at this, Luke 19. This is the day that He cried. See, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. When you break that down, it means Jesus came looking for, that's what seek means, looking for with a desire, with a passion. And to save, to rescue, to deliver those who were lost. Jesus came looking for, with a passion, the lost. For all have sinned and fall short. Gang, everyone who's ever had breath is in the category of lost. It was His intent, and it's His will, for all who are lost to come to know Him. He's provided the way for that to happen through Jesus Christ. Now look at this. Here, this is prophecy again, another prophecy come through. Zechariah 9:9 declares that your king will come. He will come humble, and He will come riding on a donkey. So this is prophecy fulfilled. Jesus has told His disciples, listen, go find me the colt, go to this specific spot, find this man, and take his donkey. So verse 33, and as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as He was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as He was approaching, near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, gang, this could be up to hundreds of people that declared that they were followers of Christ. That in a moment, they came to a place to say, man, I recognize His miracles. I recognize His authority. I recognize the prophecy that's over this guy. I recognize that He has absolute authority over life, over death. He has absolute authority over demonic power, demons, and Satan himself. He has absolute authority over man. And here the streets are lined, the hilltops are lined as He's coming up over the Mount of Olives. And they are crying out. And the Bible says that they're praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. Verse 38, shouting. Could you imagine this scene? Shouting and laying palm trees on the ground so the donkey could walk on palm trees, signifying kingship and loyalty, and laying their coats and their clothes over the donkey so Jesus has a fresh place to sit. And as He's riding over the hill and coming into Jerusalem, here this crowd of disciples is crying out with a loud voice and shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And Matthew says they were crying out, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. And Hosanna means, oh, save. And it's a joyous celebration. It's a point of adoration. And they're crying out, glory in the highest. See, folks, in their mind, they had this picture that it's time for Israel, the children of God, to come back into Jerusalem and reign. And we will reign under our King, for He has come to take the throne. Isn't it funny? They picked and chose the prophecies that they liked. They missed all what Isaiah, they missed all what Psalm says about what's going to take place to the Messiah on the cross. And here they're shouting and they're celebrating. Verse 39, there's this eruption taking place. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, teachers, rebuke your followers or your disciples. These guys were relentless, man. They didn't stop. They didn't stop. All of Jesus' life, man, they were pressing and all of His 3 years of ministry, they were pressing and pressing and pressing and testing and testing and testing and finding a way to get their foot in and finding a way to call Him a liar. And here in the moment of celebration, you've got these Pharisees. Hey, teacher, tell your followers to shut up. And then Jesus' response is priceless. I tell you this. If they become silent, you'll hear the rocks cry out. He didn't wimp down. He wasn't nervous. He didn't come to a place to say, well, maybe they shouldn't be so loud. He said, listen, Pharisee. Listen, you joke. If they stop, the rocks will cry out. Wouldn't that be amazing if right then all the rocks began to give praise? Man, you could see the Pharisees fall on their behinds in such a way what an amazing scene this is. And here these people are rejoicing, but let's look at where the heart of God is. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. And he wept over it. What? Isn't this like a celebration? Isn't this like a time of rejoicing? Isn't this your coming in? Isn't this your time that you're coming into Jerusalem to reign and to rule? Isn't this a point of celebration? Man, people are screaming and they're shouting and Hosanna in the highest, and they're crying out, the King is coming, and they're crying out the praises of Hosanna. And here the one that they're praising is weeping. And please don't misunderstand this word. It's not just a tear with the tissue. This word weep, it means that he was sobbing with intensity. Could you imagine this one on the donkey who was declared the Savior of the world? And he will save his people from their sins. And here you've got all these people, these rows of people, that are singing his praises and shouting with a loud voice. And here he sits on the donkey, just weeping in tears. You ever been to a place that you just can't stop crying? You ever been to a place where news come across or something takes place and you're broken? Well, this is the day that Jesus, who is God, cried over that which he created. Because he knew. John 1:11 tells us what he knew. That he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and as he's coming in Jerusalem, who is the chosen people, he knew those who were lined up the streets in this moment that are rejoicing and shouting and yelling and singing praises. When Jesus is on the cross, and they're looking and going, well, that didn't work out so well. They're the ones who abandon. They're the ones who turn. They're the ones who mock. They're the ones who spit. And Jesus is in this place of sobbing with intensity because he came to his own and they missed him. They would not receive him. Could you imagine Jesus coming and them not wanting Jesus? Could you imagine in post Bible, when we see the whole picture, we recognize who Jesus is, and we live in such an amazing, amazing time where we know who Jesus is. We've got the whole story. And yet there's still so many who says, I don't want him. And we see Jesus at a place of being broken, sobbing intensely. And he tells us this. Verse 42, and saying, if you had known, I could see him saying this through tears. If you had known in this day, even you, isn't that amazing? Even you, he pinpoints it. The things that made for peace. And then he goes on in last part of verse 44, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is God in the flesh on a donkey that they could reach out and touch, that they covered this donkey with their clothes, and God Almighty sits on the donkey. And here they look at this, and they're in praise, and here he's sobbing and saying, you've missed it. You've lost the opportunity. You've missed it. If you would have known, even you. Boom. And who is he looking at right then? The things that make for peace. See, we know through what he said where peace comes from. What is the things that make for peace? Folks, you have peace when you're in a right relationship with God. And that right relationship with God only comes through Jesus. John 16:33 says this. These things I have spoken to you. Now look what he says. So that in me, again, building that relationship, wanting that desire to be with man, in me you would have peace. Look what he says. Where does peace come from? Being in him.
that we would be in Him in a relationship, relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and in that relationship, so that in me you may have peace. For in this world you'll have tribulation, but take courage, or be of good cheer, or take heart, for I have overcome the world. And He looks at him and said, you missed it. You missed it. If you had known. Folks, it is incredible. Even to today, there are those who think they're so close to Jesus. They missed it. Because they didn't realize that it's fully and only based on relationship and what Jesus did for us on the cross. The day He came and the day He cried were 2 days that revolved around having a relationship with man. And still to this day, there are those who say, I want nothing to do with Jesus. And they miss it. Lost opportunity. The Bible says once to death and then judgment. We got one shot called life. Man, we have no excuse because we have everything right here. We have no excuse. Now we have radio on every corner and TV in every house. Now those who are in the backwoods overseas are hearing messages over the airwaves of absolute gospel and truth. It's amazing. It's awesome. And the Bible says He won't return until all nations are reached. All nations are being reached, folks. No excuse. See, and then He says this amazing thing in John 8. Brennan, you can come up. He says this amazing thing in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Please hear this, folks. A lighthouse, at best, is a tourist attraction. Until you find yourself in a storm. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes the guide to bring you home. God draws near to the brokenhearted. And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Just bow your heads for me, please. God draws near to the brokenhearted, to those who are desperate, those who are lonely, those who are broken, those who are lost. And Jesus said, I'm the lighthouse. I am the light to the world. And man, I could just imagine in the midst of a storm, the lighthouse then becomes most valuable because it guides us home. When Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Folks, if you're here this morning and you're walking in a storm, please know this, absolute truth. God so pursues you and desires you that he will draw near to the brokenhearted, to the lost, to the desperate, to the hurting, to the lonely. And we see that right through the picture of Jesus. Jesus went to those who were lonely. Jesus went to those who were broken. Jesus went to those in the midst of sin. Jesus went to those to which no one else would go to. Why? Because Psalm 34:18 says the Lord draws near. The words draw near, it means he came close. What? God, Emmanuel, put on flesh. Why? So that he could come close to his creation. Amazing. Amazing. Man, you're in this place this morning. Man, you know God has spoke to you today. The Bible is so clear. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Listen, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. And Jesus came on the greatest rescue mission. Not to judge the world, but to save the world. What a mission. Folks, all the work has been done. That we see today that God has such a desire to be in relationship with you. That it cost him his son to do that. It's up to you and me. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of Jesus, whoever calls on God saves, shall be saved. The Bible says that we are to acknowledge our sin and repent, turn from our sin, to understand it is because of my sin, my fault, my doing, that I'm separate from God. And I need Jesus. I need to be saved because I am lost because of sin. And that I would turn from sin and I would repent from sin and I would confess, I would acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is God. Jesus is Master. Jesus is Lord. And I submit myself to Him as my King. That's what I do. That's confessing that He is Lord. To acknowledge that I do believe that Jesus was raised by God his Father on the third day. That he reigns in eternity at the right hand of God. And then God draws near to the brokenhearted. If you're in this place and you've been in church before, raised in church, and you find yourself looking at the shore, and you see that lighthouse going around, and around and around. Oh, that you'd hear this. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Come home. Come home. Jesus, thank you. Man, that you would surrender that to him. You get yourself out of the storm. And you know what Jesus said. Come home. Today's your day. Get before him now. Repent and turn. Acknowledge that he is the Lord. Acknowledge that he died for you. That he is the only way. His name is Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, that you'd come home today. I beg you, please. Come home today. Come on in Jesus' name.